All right, good morning. I'd like to welcome everybody to Carlsbad Bible Church. So this morning we are going to be in Acts 1. So if everybody will turn to Acts 1, we'll be in that one and we'll be reading 4 through 8. So once you found the passage, if everybody would stand for God's reading or for reading of God's word. And being assembled together with them, he commanded them not to depart from Jerusalem, but to wait for the promise of the Father, which he said, "You have heard from me. For John truly baptized with water, but you shall be baptized with the Holy Spirit not many days from now." Therefore, when they had come together, they asked him, saying, "Lord, will you at this time restore the kingdom to Israel?" And he said to them, "It is not for you to know the times or seasons which the Father has put in his own authority, but you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be a witness to me in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth." All right, let's go to the Lord in prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, we praise you and thank you for this day. Father, we thank you for your word, Father, that it teaches us how you would like for us to be, Father. Father, we just ask that you be with us today. Help us to worship you according to the way you would like for us to. Father, we love you, praise you, and thank you. And it's in Jesus Christ's name I pray. Amen.
Father, we come before you today to glorify you and ultimately all that you do for our lives and how we minister and evangelize to one another, Lord. Help us proclaim that gospel to our neighbors at work and preach that truth that you have given us through your word. Let it all be for you and in your glory. In your name we pray, amen.
All right. One of the wonderful things about God is the way that he orchestrates his kingdom. All the songs that we just got through singing had parts of my message in it. My message today is going to be off of Matthew 28, 16 through 20, if everybody would like to turn there. The good news is something that we should be sharing with everybody. Not only with words, but with deeds. Everything that we do should show Christ if we are Christ's children. All right, Matthew 28, 16 through 20. Then the 11 disciples went away into Galilee to the mountain which Jesus had appointed for them. When they saw him, they worshipped him, but some doubted. And Jesus came to and spoke to them, saying, "All authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Go, therefore, and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things that I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. Amen." The 11 disciples went away into Galilee to the mountain which Jesus had appointed for them. The disciples went a long way to make the next appointment that Jesus had set. But it was going to be well worth the long walk. The disciples have, by this time, learned to follow all that Jesus told them, no matter how odd it seemed, because in just a short time, they had to return to Jerusalem to receive the Holy Spirit. So that's quite a walk to go from Jerusalem to Galilee and then just to have to turn around and go back. But again, they were following exactly what Jesus was telling them to do. When they saw him, they worshiped him, but some doubted. Who doubted? Out of the 11 that was left, who do you think would doubt? Was it the disciples that doubted? They may have been more than just the disciples there. Paul wrote in 1 Corinthians 15:6, "After that, he was seen by over 500 brethren at once, of whom the greater part remained to the present, but some have fallen asleep. So maybe it was a few of the 500 that didn't believe, or even the disciples, one of them. Also, what Paul is saying here is that if anyone who was not there and didn't believe that Jesus was raised from the dead, then all they had to do is go find somebody that had been there and witnessed it and ask them. There were hundreds that were there that witnessed it. And Jesus came and spoke to them, saying, "All authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth." In this statement, Jesus is stating by what authority he was making his command. All authority had been given to me. Spurgeon says, "We believe in this power and we rest in it." Jesus said, "All authority had been given to me." It hasn't been given to Barry. It hasn't been given to Ray or even Owen. Because if it was, we'd make a mess of it. Authority is given to Jesus. And if it belongs to him and he commands that I do something, then he, with his authority, he will supply whatever I need to do the job he has for me to do. Just standing up here before you guys is that proof, because I don't have it in me to do this. As he does with all his saints, he will supply everything that each of us need if we're doing his business. We don't do it in our power, only the power of Christ and for his glory forever and ever. In verse 19, "Go, therefore, and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and the Holy Spirit." Again, Charles Spurgeon commented, "Jesus said, 'Go to some very imperfect disciples.' Who is to go out of the first group of disciples? It is Peter, the rash and the headstrong. It is John, who sometimes wishes to call fire from heaven to destroy men. It is Philip, with whom the Savior had been so long and yet has not known him. It is Thomas, who must put his finger into the print of the nails, or he will not believe him. Yet the Master says to them, 'Go, all power is given to you, unto you, or unto me. Therefore, go. You are as good for my purpose as anybody else would be. There is no power in you, I know, but then all power is in me. Therefore, go.'" Christ called us to go. He called us, and we are the ones that he called. If we're sitting in a pew today, if we're listening to this message, if we are Christ's children, he has called us to spread his word. As we, the disciples, Jesus has paid the price for our sin. He died for us. If we have accepted him, then we are his. We must do what he tells us to do, and that is to go. Go tell all about the great and mighty work of that Christ has done for all of us. Acts 1:8, "For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God to salvation for everyone who believes, for the Jew first, and also for the Greek." Then John 20:21, "So Jesus said to them again, 'Peace to you, as the Father has sent me, I also send you.'" So Jesus is sending out his disciples. We can't get away from this commandment that he keeps telling us. Jesus told the 11 at the table in Mark 16:14-16, if everybody would like to turn there. "Later, he appeared to the 11 as they sat at the table, and he rebuked their unbelief and hardness of heart, because they did not believe those who had said or had seen him after he had risen. And he said to them, 'Go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He who believes and is baptized will be saved, but he who does not believe will be condemned. How many people do we know that we're not that concerned about that will be condemned in hell? I don't know any. Jesus is commanding us to make disciples. This is the next thing that he has commanded us in this passage. Disciples are made, they don't just appear. Making disciples is the key to spreading the good news of Jesus and what he has done for all of us. We are to go, therefore, and make disciples of all nations. Up until now, Jesus restricted his work to the Jews, as he said in Matthew 15:24. But he answered them and said, I am not sent but unto the lost sheep of the house of Israel. And he also restricted the disciples as well in Matthew 10:5-7. So if we'd like to turn there. These 12 Jesus sent out and commanded them, saying, Do not go into the way of the Gentiles, and do not enter a city of the Samaritans, but go rather to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. And as you go, preach, saying, The kingdom of heaven is at hand. All right, only in rare cases did Jesus minister to the Gentiles at this time. One of those times was in Matthew, and here again, if you all turn to it, Matthew 15:21-28. This is one of my favorite verses on how we should consistently seek Jesus. Then Jesus went out from there and departed to the region of Tyre and Sidon. And behold, a woman of Canaan came from the region and cried out to him, saying, Have mercy on me, O Lord, son of David. My daughter is severely demon-possessed. But he answered her not a word. And his disciples came and urged him, saying, Send her away, for she cries out after us. But he answered and said, I was not sent except to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. Then she came and worshipped him, saying, Lord, help me. But he answered and said, It is not good to take the children's bread and throw it to the little dogs. And she said, Yes, Lord. Yet even the little dogs eat the crumbs which fall from their master's table. Then Jesus answered and said to her, O woman, great is your faith. Let it be as you desire. And her daughter was healed from that very hour. That's very powerful that if we have such a strong request that Jesus is diligent to take care of that request, whether the way he takes care of it, it may not be the way we want it to be taken care of, but he will take care of it. What faith this woman had, do we have that same faith this woman had? Would we be as bold as she was? Would we do as Spurgeon said? If sinners be damned, at least let them leap over hell, or leap to hell over our dead bodies. And if they perish, let them perish with our arms wrapped around their knees, imploring them to stay. If hell must be filled, let it be filled with the teeth of our exertions. And let not one go unwarned and unprayed for. We must go, therefore, and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. But now the commandment is to go. We no longer have to just serve the Jewish people and teach them. This is for all people, Jew and Gentile. Go, therefore, make disciples of all nations. There is no place on earth where the gospel of Jesus should not be preached and where disciples should not be made. One of the biggest mission fields in the world right now is the United States. Other countries are sending people here. One example of this was Gideon and his wife from Texas went to New York City for a Bible distribution. The first day they went to an assisted living center and were placing Bibles in the rooms, and the Gideon saw an elderly man in a wheelchair sitting by the window. So he went over to the old man and struck up a conversation with him. And the old man asked Gideon where he was from, and the Gideon said, "What makes you think I'm not from New York City?" And the old man said, with an accent like that, "You can't be from New York." Then the Gideon said, "I came all the way up here from Texas just to tell you about Jesus Christ." And the old man, with tears in his eyes, said, "No one has ever done that for me before." And then the Gideon explained to the old man the work of Jesus and how he too could be saved. And then the old man said, "That's what I want to do. I want to be saved right now." The Gideon went through Romans 10:9-10 on how to be saved. That if you confess with your mouth the Lord and believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For with the heart one believes unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. And the old man said, "That is what I believe in, and I believe in all of what Jesus has done for me, and I want to be saved right now." And he was. The Gideon asked the old man how old he was, and the old man said, "In another month I'll be 101. 101 years in the United States, and this man had never heard the gospel. The following year, the Gideon and his wife went back to the nursing home to check on the old man, and the staff said that he had passed away a few months earlier. Matthew 9:37. Then he said to his disciples, "The harvest truly is plentiful, but the laborers are few. Therefore pray the Lord of the harvest to send out laborers into his harvest." We are those laborers. We are the ones that are supposed to be sent out. We are the ones that are supposed to be showing and praying and leading and showing people who Jesus is. Whether we are out there spreading the gospel or praying relentlessly and showing Jesus in all we do and say, we all have a job to do. It may take effort in our part or getting out of our comfort zone, but we have a commandment to follow, and that is to go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. Was Jesus just giving this commandment to the disciples? So far, that's what we've been saying, but it wasn't. Jesus was giving this commandment to every Christian. Paul tells us in 1 Corinthians 11:1, "Imitate me just as I also imitate Christ." Verse 20, "Teaching them to observe all things that I have commanded you, and lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age." We must be teaching the whole counsel of God to those who are to be made disciples. This is one of the biggest things that Owen and Ray and I have discussed, is we have to. We don't have any other choice. We have to teach the whole counsel of God. Acts 5:42, "And daily in the temple and in every house they did not cease teaching and preaching Jesus as the Christ." So that's what we have to be doing. In our homes, we have to be teaching. In our jobs, we have to be teaching. Walking down the street, going into Walmart, we have to be teaching. That teaching not only is in words, but is how we deal with people. Somebody cuts you off in traffic, it's easy to sit there and jump up and down, scream, cuss them out, all that stuff, because nobody's in the car with you. But there's one problem with that thought process. God is there. He's hearing everything you're saying. You're training yourself to be angry. We need to train ourselves to be loving. I like what Matthew Henry said about this. "Do your utmost to make the nations Christian nations. not to go to the nations and denounce the judgment of God against them, as Jonah against Nineveh, and as other Old Testament prophets, but go and disciple them. Christ, the mediator, is setting up a kingdom in the world, bringing the nation to be his subject, setting up a school, bringing the nations to be his scholars, raising up an army for carrying on of the war against the powers of darkness, enlists the nations of the earth under his banner. Romans 1:16, for I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God to salvation for everyone who believes, for the Jew first, and also for the Greek. Jesus has a huge resource for us to draw on. John 14:6, but the Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things and bring to your remembrance all things that I said to you. This is a true, true fact. My memory is gone, if I ever even had one. But he does bring these things to my memory. If somebody says something that is not right, I'm like a radar, I just pick it up. It's taken a long time and a good wife to get there. But I have learned a lot, and Jesus, the Holy Spirit, brings these things to my memory. Jesus is now giving the disciples a command to go to teach what Christ has commanded them. The word which is used in the Greek for Jesus commanding his men or giving them orders is interesting and illuminating. It is the word paragalein. This word in Greek has four special usages. The first usage is the regular word used for a military command. Second one, it is the word used for calling one's friends to help. It is the word used for a teacher giving rules and precepts to his students. It is the word which is regularly used for an imperial command. That is according to Barclay. Did Jesus just push us out the door and say thank you very much and not give us any help? No, he didn't do that. He said in this passage, he says, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. Jesus is not with us as a moral support. His presence means privilege. Because we work with a great king, Paul understood this principle well in 1 Corinthians 3:9, where he wrote, for we are God's fellow workers, you are God's field, you are God's building. Since Jesus promised, I am with you always, then we work together with him in all our service. We certainly work for Jesus, but more than that, we work with Jesus. His presence means peace, because it always reminds us that the church belongs to Jesus. It is his church, his bride, his work. We do not have to worry about anything as long as we're doing his business. He will supply everything that we need to do his work. So as we meditate on this command that Jesus has given to us, let us remember what Jesus said. He said to go. We must go tell and teach all the people the good news of our Lord Jesus Christ. That was short. If I was the one doing this and the Holy Spirit wasn't leading me, I would say, just go out and tell people about Jesus Christ. That would be my message. But God has a message. I tried to add to the message, but he wouldn't let me add any more. Kind of weird on that one. I kept looking for different things to put into this, but he stopped me. So let's have a wonderful day. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. And thank you for listening. So in Jesus Christ's name, I ask that you bless each one here, Father, that you bless each one of us with the knowledge, the wisdom, the courage, the strength to carry on with preaching your commands, with teaching each person that's around us, Father. We thank you so much for just the word that you give us so we know exactly what to say, what to do, Father. Father, we thank you that you are the one that is in control, and we don't have to worry about the message that you have for us to give those people, Father. Father, we thank you that we don't have to worry about a thing, that you are in control. Father, we thank you again for your word and what it does in our lives. It's in Jesus Christ's name I pray. Amen.